At the end of the previous shiur here on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, we were in a little bit of a pressure, of a rush. Let's just review the last piece. The question is whether we can reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Suma Ein Lo Boshes, and that would seem to mean that our Mishnah, which holds that Hamavayish Sasuma Chayov, is contradictory to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, by process of elimination, we saw that the Mishnah is attributed to Rabbi Shimon. Then the Gemara made an attempt at reconciling our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Suma Ein Lo Boshes means that if the Suma is Mevayesh, then the victim, the subject of his busha, cannot sue the Suma for damages. However, if someone is Mevayesh the Suma, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that a Suma Yeshlo Boshes. So when it says in the Mishnah, Mevayesh es HaSuma Chayov, it doesn't necessarily mean that Suma Shebiyesh Chayov. HaMevayesh HaSuma is Chayov because the Suma suffers from Boshes, and therefore he can become a plaintiff and be Tovea Dmei Boshes. But on the other hand, the Suma is not considered a Gavra Bar Chiyuva if he's Mevayesh someone else. And in that way, we can reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara rejects this, and this is where we ended the shiur yesterday in Rush. V'amidik tani sefer, if we read carefully the sefer of the Mishnah, again, the Mishnah here on Pei Zayin, and there it says, Hamavayish es hayoshen chaya v'yoshen shebiyesh potter. The Mishnah went out of its way to point out that there's a difference between the Mavayish or the Mizbayish, meaning as far as Yoshen is concerned, someone who's sleeping. And that's going to be a discussion in the Mishnah on Amud Beis. We'll have it in Mirat Hashem in a few minutes. Then if someone who's sleeping was humiliated, he, the Yashen, as the victim, has the right to be Tovea, the Mevayish. But if on the other hand, the Yashen, inadvertently during his sleep, he was Mevayish someone else, he's Potter. Oh, so you see clearly that when the Mishnah wants to tell you a chilik, a distinction between the Mevayesh and the Biyesh, the Mishnah goes out of its way to say so. V'lokitani, but in the case of HaMevayesh Sasuma Chayev, it doesn't say, but Suma Shebiyesh Patur, Michlal, from the fact that with regard to Suma, the Mishnah did not make this distinction between the Mevayesh and the Biyesh. Loshna hachi, it means that when the Mishnah states Hamavayish Sasuma Chayev, it goes in both directions. Not only if the Suma was the passive object of the Busha, but even if the Suma was the active agent of Busha to be Mavayish someone else, he's Chayev. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have made that distinction explicitly, just as it did with regard to Yashen, and tell us that Hamavayish Sasuma Chayev, but Suma should be Eshpatur. Therefore, we conclude that according to our Mishnah, Suma is included in Boshes in both directions. Sai as a Mavayish, and Sai if he himself was humiliated, in both cases, even if the Suma is the active agent to humiliate someone else, then the Suma is culpable and liable. He has to pay Boshes. And if that be the case, Rabbi Yehuda could not be the author of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda goes out of his way to point out that Suma Ein Lo Boshes, which means that Suma is excluded from the parish of Boshes. You can never be Machai of him in Boshes. Our Tana, our Mishnah holds that Suma is Chayev in Boshes. Elamach Varta, Rabbi Shimon. We have no choice but to attribute the authorship of our Mishnah to Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara quotes another Braisa to clarify the various Shitos. And man tana lahad tana rabbanan. Let's take a look at this braisa and try to determine which of the three tanoim could have been the author of this braisa. And the braisa talks about a case of niskavin levayish es hakatan ubiyesh es hagadol. There was a mistake here in which the Mevayesh had a certain victim in mind, but at the end of the day, because of some confusion about the identity, he ended up a Sofashal Dover to be Mevayesh someone else. So his kavan in this case, the Reisha, was to Mevayesh a Katan. At the end of the story, he was Mevayesh a Gadol. We don't know who this Katan is and who this Gadol is. We'll soon see that the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth about this. What is the din if he had kavana to be Mevayesh the Katan and then he was Mevayesh the Gadol? Is no saint le Gadol to me boshto shel Katan. We cannot force the Mevayesh to pay for the boshes of a Gadol, meaning the price, the shuma of a Gadol, because his intention was only to be Mevayesh the Katan. But on the other hand, he did have kavana to be Mevayesh, albeit the Katan, so therefore what Shuma, what kind of price tag would we expect the Mevayesh as a Katan to pay? That's what he's going to pay to the Gadol. And then the Braisa continues and says, Levayesh, meaning he had Kavana as a Eved, to be Mevayesh the Eved, which is apparently a lower level Boshes, less of a sum of Boshes, Ubiyesh es Ben Chorin. At the end of the day, he was Mevayesh a Ben Chorin. And the din is that no sein bnei tmei boshto shel eved, he pays the ben chorin, no sein le ben chorin tmei boshto shel eved, he pays the lower price because that he had kavana for, the shuma of an eved, a boshes of an eved, but he pays it to the ben chorin who is the subject of that act of humiliation, mani. And now the Gemara raises the following question. Lo Rabbi Meir, lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is going to work this out in such a way that our Braisa here and the din formulated by the Braisa cannot square neither with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we're left without an author, so to speak. And now we'll try to understand the premise of the Makshan, Kasalke Daitach. The Makshan was of the opinion that when the Braisa says it's Kavim Levayesh HaKatan, what's it talking about? Katan, the word Katan, means not Katan B'Shanim, but rather Katan B'Nechasim, meaning we're talking about a poor person. Gadol means Gadol B'Nechasim, meaning a rich person. And therefore, the Makshan says, "E Rabbi Meir, ha'amar kulu bahadi adodi ninu." Rabbi Meir, if you recall, has the uniform chiyuv boshes for all Jews. All Jews are bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, what does it mean that there's a different shuma and a different price tag for boshes, for a gadol, which is an ashir, and a katan, which is an ani? V'i Rabbi Yehuda, and if you want to attribute this price to Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, and this is again in the Mishnah that we'll see later on Daf Pei Zayin, Ein La Vodim Boshes, which means if a person humiliates an Eved, he's potter, and there's no claim of payment of Boshes to an Eved. The Bryce, on the other hand, says that if he had Kavanah to invite the Eved, we do a Shuma, and we evaluate how much is the Boshes as an Eved, and that's exactly what he'll pay to the Bnei Chorin, to the Ben Chorin to whom he inadvertently was Mevayesh. So Rabbi Yehuda could not possibly be the author of our Braisa, the Rabbi Shimon. But guess what? It doesn't even work according to Rabbi Shimon. Ha'amar, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Niskaven Levayesh is Zeh, Ubiyesh is Zeh Potter. That if a person had Kavana to Mevayesh Ruvain and he was Mevayesh Shimon, he's completely Potter. He doesn't pay a red cent. Our Braisa is of the opinion that if he's miskaven levayish sakotan ubiyish sagodol is chayev, I'll call upon him, he pays at least the amount that he would have paid to the katan. According to Rav Shimon, there would be no payment whatsoever, no penalty, because he didn't have kavana. And now the Gemara knows to extrapolate from a different statement of Rav Shimon that Rav Shimon would hold that if he didn't have kavanah to invite this particular individual, he's potter and gansin. My time, how do we know such a thing? And the answer is, we can compare this case of boshes without kavanah to this particular mevuyash, to the case of ketola where the murderer had in mind to kill Reuven and inadvertently killed Shimon. And Rav Shimon in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Tes says that as far as the Chiyuv Misa of Rotzeach is concerned, to put the Rotzeach to death, we must have a Kavana to this Nirtzach, that the Rotzeach had in mind to kill this particular individual. Mak told, and now the Gemara makes the analogy, Adam is kavin lei, Rav Shimon says you're not chayev, and you're not liable as a murderer unless you had kavana for this particular person. That was your intention, to kill this person. And Rav Shimon derives it from a pasuk, and this is critical. The pasuk says, the dvarim yutes tachsiv v'arav lo v'kam ola v'ko nefesh. And the word lo here means Adshi is kavin lo. That's Rav Shimon in Masechta Sanhedrin. Adshi is kavin lo. He's not chayev unless it was v'ariv lo. He had kavanah for this individual. Is boshes nami, applying the same yardstick and the same kind of understanding of the verse in the Torah to the case of boshes, is ad mechavin le. Rav Shimon would no doubt postulate the same condition, namely that he's only chayev for boshes if he had kavanah to invite this individual. If there was a mistaken identity, he's not chayev d'chsiv. Let's look at another verse, and here also we're looking at a verse in Sefer Dvarim, but not in Perek Yutes, in Perek Chafei. And there it says, Visholcha yada vechzika b'mevusha. If there was a brawl between two men, and the wife of one of these two men embarrassed, you know, she intervened here and jumped in the middle of this brawl, and she embarrassed the one of the two individuals, and shechzika b'mevushav. Is there, since it says bimavushav, it's like lo in the case of Yarav lo v'kamalav, it means that the chiyuv boshes is achis kavin lo to this mevushav, this particular individual that she was mevayish. She didn't have kavanah for someone else and accidentally and unintentionally was mevayish this person. And since Rav Shimon patters up the miskaven, levayish ezeh ubiyish ezeh, it's not possible that our brisa could square with Rav Shimon. The Gemara answers, Li'olam Rabbi Yehuda. The author of this brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. V'chika om Rabbi Yehuda. Ein la'avodim boshes. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean? That you're not chayev to pay the eved if you mevayish him. Here you see that in our brisa you're chayev for boshes of an eved. The answer is l'meis v'luhu. You don't actually have to pay the eved. The eved is not going to be able to collect boshes. Because in the parish of Boshes that we just mentioned, it says ki notzu anoshim yachtov ish v'yachiv, and achiv means achva. Here we're talking about an eved who cannot, he's not mutar b'kal Yisrael, he cannot enter into the kal, he's not an ach. Or for example, the pasuk in Breishis says am im hachamor, which means am hadoma lechamor. There's no yichus to an eved. Again, we're talking about an eved kanani here, and therefore the Eved is excluded from the parish of Boshes. Ah, that's only as far as the actual payment is concerned. Aval lemeshim shayminin behu. We can subject the Eved to a shuma and try to come up with a price tag how much the Boshes of the Eved would be worth. We're not saying that the Eved is mufka from Busha. Later on we're going to have a discussion about an Arum, a person who's naked and walks the streets publicly naked, whether he has Boshes or he doesn't have Boshes. We can talk about a Yoshein, somebody who's sleeping. Is he subject to Boshes? The Eved is a human being with sensitivities and he's subject to Boshes. He can be humiliated. And there's a price that he would pay to avoid that humiliation. And that's called a Shuma. But we're only doing this Shuma as a means to an end, not to the end of having the Eved collect by suing Boshes from the Mevayish, but rather subjecting the Eved to a Shuma in order to determine how much does this Mevayish, who is Mevayish of Ben Chorin, have to pay the Ben Chorin when his Kavana was to be Mevayish the Eved. The Iboy is saying the Gemara wants to give another possibility. Afilu Teimer Rabbi Meir, perhaps we can go as far as to say that the authorship of this brice could be attributed to Rabbi Meir, and even Rabbi Meir is not going to distinguish between the Shuma of Boshes Ashirim or Boshes Aniyim, even though Rabbi Meir has this uniform Boshes, he's not willing to set up a distinction between the Bush of an Asher, the Bush of an Ani. Nevertheless, that's not a contradiction to our Mishnah, to our Braisa, because our Braisa, when it uses the words Katan and Gadol, is not referring, as we thought, to an Ani and an Ashir, that financially, in terms of the bank account, Katan or Gadol. No, Misav is Gadol, Gadol and Achasim, Katan, Katan bin Achasim, lo. That's not what the Braisa has in mind. Gadol, Gadol Mamish, we're talking about someone who's mature. Katan, Katan Mamish, he's a youngster, below the age of Bar Mitzvah. And the Braisa wants to say that if he had Kavana, this Mevayesh, to a Anam Katan Bishanam, a child, at the end of the day, he was Mevayesh, a Gadol, that he has to pay the Mizbayesh, the Adam Gadol, who is the victim of his Boshes, the amount that we would estimate and evaluate the Boshes of a Katan. Again, what we're saying is that Katan is also subject to humiliation. He also has that sensitivity, and therefore there's a price tag for that. So the Gemara asks, V'katan bar boshesu? Is it really true that a katan could suffer boshes? The Gemara thinks that a katan doesn't have das, he doesn't have boshes, he doesn't have busha, he doesn't suffer this humiliation. In, says the Gemara, Kidi Omer Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, De michlamu le umichlam. There is a katan who, when he reaches a certain age of maturity, he is subject to boshes. He reaches a more mature age. Maybe he's 10, he's 11, he's 12, and he suffers boshes. Hachanami here too. In our Braisa, we're talking about a katan who could be subject to boshes. And here we're looking on Pei Vav Amid Beis. The katan is old enough so that he can experience through his sensitivity this humiliation. He's old enough for that, and therefore if others are mevayish him, he is a mizbayish, and he suffers from that. I'm going to see shortly here, behemshech on Pei Vav Amid Beis, that indeed, according to Rabbi Meir, Katan does collect boshes if he's mature, and he's subject to this humiliation. And now, let's begin the Mishnah here on the top of Pei Vav Amid Beis. In the previous Mishnah, back on Pei Gimel Amid Beis, we clarified the Chiyuv Tashlumin in the case of a man who is Mazik, his friend, with Boshes, that he pays Boshes. And now our Mishnah goes into a little bit more detail about the nature and the scope of this Chiyuv Boshes. Hamavayish es ha'orum. Orum is a person without clothing, and you're going to be chaya for that. And V'amavayesh es hasuma, if a person humiliates a blind person, v'amavayesh es hayoshen, even if he's mavayesh someone who's asleep, in all these cases, the Mishnah Paskins chayav. Later on, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa, and it's going to explain that we're talking about an arum, meaning a person whose garments were very, very loose, and the way they were hanging, the wind was able to lift up his garments, and somebody lifted them even further to be mevayish the person. And it would seem from Rashi in the Gemara that our Mishnah also is talking about this kind of an arum. And the implication is that according to Rashi, if he was poshed naked, pshuta kimashmo, if we take the Mishnah literally, then since he's mevayish himself, No one who's mevayishim would add to his humiliation and be chayef. Therefore, you have to interpret that our Mishnah is referring to this halfway measure where he was very careless about his clothing, but he wasn't actually naked. Tosus, on the other hand, explained that our Mishnah is talking about busha, and act of being mevayish the Orum had nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that he was Orum. he was being humiliated by spitting in his face or slapping him across the face. And therefore, even if he was Arum, there is a Chiv Boshes, which means that Tosfos does not accept that fundamental assumption, the premise of Rashi, that if a person is Arum and that's the way he exposes himself publicly, he's not subject to Boshes. No, Tosfos says he is subject to Boshes. And you don't have to talk about this halfway measure where the Ruach carries up, you know, raises his clothing, exposing his body. We're talking about an Arum Mamish, but the method of Boshes had nothing to do with the fact he was Arum. And therefore, there is a Chiv Boshes. Now, the Mishnah gives the case of Mevayish Es HaYoshen. Now, this is very interesting, because L'chora Boshes means that somebody feels the Busha. If that person who is the subject to the Busha, meaning the victim of the Busha, feels nothing, and therefore the Tosfos Yontif here on our Mishnah says that when will this Yoshen feel his Boshes? When he gets up and somebody tells him exactly what happened to him while he was asleep, and then he's really embarrassed about it. And then, and only then, is there a chiyuv to pay Boshes. And the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even though there's a two-stage process here, there's a gap between the Maisa Busha and the Mizbayish suffering this Boshes, and therefore that gap would indicate a grumma kind of triggering off effect. You know, there's a domino theory here. That would be grumma. No, the Mishnah says that it's as if he was Mivayish him while he was Yoshen, even though, again, he won't suffer the Boshes till he finds out about it when he wakes up. And the Rashash writes that even though he finds out later about, you know, when he wakes up about the Boshes, nevertheless, the Maisa Mavayish is enough to engender a Chiv Boshes. And even though later on the Gemara is going to talk about someone who was humiliated while he was asleep and then he died in his sleep, says the Rashash, that's not our case over here. Our case is where he woke up and he was notified about what happened while he was sleeping and he's very embarrassed about it. The Mishnah continues in the Sefer, V'yoshen Shabiyesh, but if we turn it around the other way and somebody... while he was sleeping, he hit someone, he kicked someone, he spat in someone, he salivated on him. I don't know what he did. He's potter. And this would seem to be a reflection of that universal principle in Boshes, that you need kavanas Boshes. Then we have another case, again, where you need kavanas Boshes, and it's missing. Nafal min agag. A person trips, and he falls from a high place. Vehizik ubiesh chayav ala nezek upata ala boshes, he doesn't have to pay boshes if unintentionally fell off the roof, damaged someone and embarrassed him. However, as far as the nezek element is concerned, as we've seen in the past, adam amazik is chayev bein biones, bein b'shogeg, and bein b'rotzon. So even if this case is a kind of an ones, but nevertheless he pays damages, that's called nezek, but not boshes. Because, as the Mishnah says, ad sheyehei miskaven, a person has to have kavana for the maisa hamavayish in order to be chayv mishum boshes. The Gemara now quotes a brisa as far as the chiv tashlume boshes in the case of someone who embarrassed a naked person. Tan rabbanon bisho, if a person humiliated his friend Arum when his friend was naked, chayv, he has to pay to make boshes. But now the brisa adds something else. V'eino dome baisho orum levaisho lovush. As far as the payment is concerned, if you mevaish someone who's naked, the payment is not going to be identical to the classical case of boshes, if you mevaish someone who's well-dressed. In the case of a person who's dressed, that's a serious high-level boshes. However, in the case of an orum, he's already lowered his threshold of embarrassment. He's not really an embarrassing type of guy. He's got a thick skin, if you will. And therefore, his boshes is on a much lower level, and the price tag, therefore, will reflect a devaluated kind of a boshes. The Bryce goes on to say that there's a similar halacha in the case of Baisho Bebeis HaMerchatz, if a person is naked in a bathhouse, Chayov, the Mavayish does have to pay Boshes if he embarrasses him there, but Eino Dome Baisho Bebeis HaMerchatz Levaisho Bishuk. When you embarrass someone in public, in the marketplace, that's a serious, high-level, expensive kind of boshes. How much would a person be willing to pay to avoid such a humiliation in public? But in the case of a beis hamerchatz, where people are laid back and there's a lot of nakedness there, that's not really the high-level boshes. Amar Mar, going back to this, for the Gemara now to analyze this price, Baisho Arum Chayo. So the Gemara doesn't understand, and in essence, this question that the Gemara is going to raise could have been addressed to our Mishnah as well, not just to the Braisa. And that is, Arum Bar Boshesu. If a person is not careful about covering his body, he has no sense of Boshes. In fact, when Adam and Chava realized their nakedness, the first thing they experienced was boshes. Boshes is a feeling of incompleteness, a feeling of I'm much less than what I should be. I am low. Boshes is an expression of the lowliness of a person. A person is so lowly, and he doesn't even care about the fact that he walks around naked in front of other people. Such a person is not subject to boshes at all. We're not talking about some sort of ptur gavra, you know, like, for example, we discussed in the case of an eved, that because an eved is not included in achva, and he's not a bar yuchsin, therefore he doesn't have rights to demand and sue for damages of boshes, fine. But clearly the eved is subject, has the sensitivity of humiliation, embarrassment. But in this case, a person who's arum, that's the way he exposes himself and he walks around, he has no self-dignity. And therefore there's no sensitivity. Why should there be any boshes whatsoever? And this seems to contradict what we said before in the name of Tosus, Divrei Maschil Arum, that Tosus says that if the Arum, somebody spat in his face, or somebody slapped him, that would be boshes. He would suffer boshes. So the Gemara could have asked the same question on the Mishnah, if the Gemara is working with the premise that an Arum doesn't suffer any boshes. And we're going to have to figure out a way of reconciling this Gemara with what Tosus says in the Mishnah, that even if a person is an Arum, he's still subject to boshes. So Tosus says that the Bryce has in mind, Bisho Arum, that he himself stripped and made himself naked, he himself embarrassed himself. But there's another phrase here in Tosfos that we should read carefully. Tosfos says, "Hadik toni nami bebraisa bisho bebeis hamerchatz chayev habisho orum nami koi." And now he adds three words. He says, "Sheherimo bebeis hamerchatz." And if you take a look earlier in the Tosfos, he says, "Nir lefarish." And Tosfos seems to say that the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa is that our Mishnah is describing a situation in which a person is naked. The Braisa is addressing a case where the Mavayesh stripped that person. In other words, the very act, the maisa of busha, was to make him naked. And in that case, we can explain perhaps the Mishnah that bisho arum, but in the Braisa, when the Mishnah used the word hamavayish esa arum, then you might suggest that arum means he was already naked, whereas the Braisa is talking about bisho arum, he made him naked. And Tosfos says, no, that if you read the Braisa carefully, Bisho Arum means Kishu Arum, meaning he himself was naked. And the Kasha, the Gemara, is that if you take a look in the Lashon HaBraisa, we're talking about, it seems, a person who's already Arum. And therefore, if he's already Arum, how could you be Mechayev of him for making him naked? Amarav Papa, and that's Rav Papa's answer. My, what does the Brice mean? Arum? Not that he's completely naked, because then how could you be chayv as a mavayish for making him naked if he already was naked? Ella, but rather, what's the case? The osa zeka karchinu limone. There was a wind that came about and sort of wrapped his begadim and lifted them around his body. The osa hu, and the mavayish came along. Dalinu tfei uvaishe, and he lifted his clothing even further. A very sour kind of joke that he played on his friend. And in this case, the Braisa says he's chayev because he did an action and increased the level of arum, and that's an act of boshes. The Gemara now looks at the Seifa. Baisho, Bisho, Beveis HaMerchatz Chayov, Beveis HaMerchatz Bar Boshesu, after all, he's already naked. Omar Rav Papa, the Bryce is not talking about a Beis HaMerchatz Mamish, but rather Bisho Al Gabi Al Gav HaNohar. He was standing near the water. That's the equation here between Beis HaMerchatz and Nohar. And let's say he was, you know, lifting up his clothing in order to go into the Nohar, and his friend comes along to be Mavayishim and lifts it even further up, and that's why he's Chayiv Demei Boshes. It could be possible that the reason why the Gemara mentions this case specifically, where the Ruach came along and lifted his garments, implying that if he, the Mizbayesh, was the one who lifted his garments, that already indicated that he is not Mizbayesh. He's not makpid in the fact that he's naked. And in such a case, even though the Mavayish lifted it further, once he started the process, the Mizbayish, of lifting his garments, he's already indicated that he's not makpid on Boshes. In any event, just as we summarize this part of the sugya of Arum and Boshes and move on to the next case of Yoshein, I just want to suggest, as we indicated before, that there is here a fundamental difference between Rashi's Tfisa, his understanding, and Tosfos. According to Rashi, a person whose Arum is not Shayach in Boshes, and that's what the Gemara is going to ask here, Arum bar Boshes who? And the Gemara therefore had to come up with this very complicated case where he wasn't really naked, he was only partially exposed, but according to Tosfos, there is Boshes as an Arum in the case where he was Mavayish the Arum in one of the various methods that we discussed before, but not by making him naked. The Gemara now goes back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that if you mavayish a yoshan, someone who's sleeping, yochayev. Boy Rav Abba bar Mamel, bisho yoshan, umes, mahu. What's the deal in a case where someone embarrassed a live person when he was sleeping, but then the person never woke up from his sleep? He died in his sleep. And the Gemara now analyzes the study as sofek. My kami boile, Amar Rav Zvid, hachi kami boile. This is what lies at the root of Rabbi Abba's sofek. Mishum kisufahu, or mishum zilusahu. There are two ways of understanding boshes. One way is to understand the boshes in terms of the actual feeling, the impact, the emotion of the mizbayesh. That's what boshes is all about. The mechayev is the busha of the person. And therefore the Gemara says, v'ha misle. But in this case, he didn't live to wake up from his sleep and feel, experience the boshes. Less like kisufa. He doesn't have that experience of humiliation, and therefore the Mavayish is potter. Oh, Dilma, or should we say Mishum Zilusahu, that if a person is Mizalzel, someone else, he lowers his stature, so to speak, in the eyes of the spectators, it doesn't matter whether the Mavuyash himself is there and he feels the Busha, there is an act of Zilzal. So in other words, even though the Mavuish is not paying attention, but there was an objective act of Zilzul, that itself, Ha'ozle, is enough to be Mechayv Mishum Boshes. And even if the Mavuish didn't know about it, but nevertheless a harm was done to him, something, you know, shall we say, damaging in terms of his personality, his status, his honor was done to him in a damaging way, and therefore the Mevayesh has to pay for that. Even if the Mevuyash dies in his sleep and never finds out about this zilzul that was instigated towards him, he nevertheless suffered that zilzul in his lifetime, and therefore the mezalzel is chayav mishum boshes. Toshma, the Gemara says, perhaps we can quote a brisa and determine the answer to Rav Zvid Safek, to the Rabbi Abba Safek, from this brisa. Rabbi Meir Omer Chiresh Vikaton Yesh Lem Boshes Shota Ein Lo Boshes. We have usually a trio of three categories, three individuals who are less bein das. One of them is a chereish, he's a deaf mute. The other is a katan, he's below bar mitzvah. And finally the shoteh, who exhibits various strange behavior patterns. In the cases of chereish and shot and katan who are mizvayesh, the mizvayesh has to pay dmei boshes. In the case of a shoteh, there the mizvayesh is potter. We can understand that the mechayev of zilzul applies even in the case of a katan. But if you're going to tell me, that the mizbayish has to actually feel and experience the humiliation, is katan bar boshesu? Can we actually define a katan as someone who's mizbayish? The derech of a katan is to be so to speak, to mevayish himself. He doesn't feel busha. That's a child of mine who doesn't feel busha. Is therefore when others are mevayish him, and he's not a mizbayish, he should have the same status as that of a shota who's not mizbayish. Why does the Braisa say, in the name of Rabbi Meir, that in the case of katan yesh lo boshes, it only makes sense, mishum zilusa? So now the Gemara says, Ela mai mishum zilusa is afilu shotet nami. If your standard and your definition of boshes is zilzul, an act that lowers the person's status in the eyes of the spectator, whether or not the person feels that humiliation emotionally or doesn't is irrelevant, is then we should extend Rabbi Meir's principle to apply to a shota as well. And if the shota was subject to this act of zilzul, there should be payment. Amri, the Gemara answers, there's a difference between shota and katan. Yeshota ein lecha boshes gidola mizo. Perhaps we could say that in the case of a shota, the very fact that he exhibits these very strange behavior patterns, that itself defines him as someone who's outside the pale of boshes. Boshes means I do things and I feel embarrassed about them if I don't live up to standards, if I don't live up to par. But in the case of a shota who does things that are absolutely less than par, in other words, he doesn't have any self-image, self-worth, he's not shayach to boshes. And therefore, even the concept of zilzul, says the Gemara, is inapplicable to a shota. He's an adam mizulzul biyoser. No one can be more mizulzul than a shota who's mizalzul himself, basically. And therefore, even if the chiyuv of boshes is mishum zilzul, there's no possibility of assuming that a mizalzul b'shota should be chayv to make boshes. Again, this would mean that we have an answer to the original question of Rabbi Abba, what is the nature of the chiyuv boshes, and therefore in the case of Yoshein Umes, he would be chayev, the mevayish would be chayev. The Gemara says, Mikol makom, nifshot minei, to mishum zilusa, who, now at the end of the day, we have a pshitus, we have an answer, a hakrot, our original suffix, and zilzul is the mechayev of boshes, the mishum kisufa, katan bar kisufa hu, because if you're going to go with the other way, namely that the Mechayev of Boshes is Kisufa, the actual experience of humiliation, that should not apply to a Katan, there's no Mechayev. Why does Rav Meir therefore say that I'm a Vayesh Sakotan Chayev? And the Gemara answers, no. In truth, I can tell you that in the case of Mevayesh HaSayoshein Vames Potur,
Why? Because he doesn't experience busha. Aye, why is the cotton? If a person vayish kadra meir insists that he paid, but where's the boshes? And the answer is kida amar Ravi Papa, and we've already mentioned Ravi Papa, that there are two levels of a cotton. There's a very young child, he doesn't experience busha, but as the child matures and gets a little bit older, even though he's still technically a cotton, he's not bar mitzvah, nevertheless, michleme. Lay umichlem. If you embarrass him, he suffers that humiliation. Hachinami here too, just as Rav Papa said it elsewhere, we should apply that here in the case of Katan and Rabbi Meir. De michlamu lay umichlam. We're talking about a Katan who's a gadol. In Hilchas Boshes, in terms of experiencing Busha and Klima, he is like a gadol because he's that level of maturity. Now the Gemara has a whole nother analysis of Rabbi Abba's Sofek. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says that, you know what, Rabbi Abba knew from the get-go that the Chiyuv of Boshes is because of Kisufa, of Busha itself. But Hachi Kami Bar, this was his Sofek. Is it Mishum Kisufa Di Dehu? Does the Chiyuv Boshes exhaust itself in the Chiyuv vis-a-vis the Mizbayesh? And if the Mizbayesh feels that Kisufa, yes, there's a chiv boshes, but if not, no. V'chi ha mayisle. In this case, where the yoshein died, there was no kisufa, therefore the mevayish is potor. Dilma, maybe there's another element here that also engenders the chiv busha. Mishum boshes ha-mishpacha. If the members of the family feel humiliated by the act of boshes, that itself is boshes. Which means that we can circumvent the misbayesh and say that even if he didn't feel his boshes, but the family felt it for him, they, in a sense, empathize with him or feel that they are part of him. Their identity is intertwined with his, and if there's boshes against him, there's boshes against them, the members of the family. It's similar to the Gemara of Ishto Kigufo, where a person is mevayesh someone's wife, and the husband can sue the defendant for damages because of Ishto Kigufo. It's Toshma, the Gemara says, that let's try to determine come up with a clear-cut answer to Rabbi Abba's question from the Braisa. The Braisa says, Cheresh v'katan yesh lo boshes, shote ein lo boshes. We can justify the fact that the katan could sue for damages, meaning the mishpacha was humiliated by that act of boshes vis-a-vis the katan, even though the katan himself didn't experience the boshes. Now we understand why in the case of katan there's a chiv to pay boshes on behalf of the mishpacha, the busha of the mishpacha. Ella I amrit mishum kisufa didei is katan bar boshes hu. If it's the personal humiliation of the mizbayish, that doesn't apply to a katan. Why is he chayev? Ela mai mishum boshes mei mishpacha zafilu shoten nami. Why not apply the same yardstick to shoten and assume that the members of the family of the shoten suffer this humiliation, which was again, and physically it was directed towards the shote, but they, emotionally identifying with the shote, feel humiliated. And the Gemara answers, shote ein lecha boshes gedola mizu. You can't be mevayish a shote. No way, no how. Because the very fact that he's a shote means that the members of the family have to live with that. Live with the fact that their relative, their brother, their nephew, their sister is a shota, and therefore there's no extra additional boshes by virtue of this act of the mevayish now. Now we can come to some conclusion about the original suffix of Rabbi Abba, the mishum boshes mishpacha, the mishum kisufa, cotton by kisufa hu. And therefore, in the case of a Yoshein, even if he doesn't experience Kisufa, but nevertheless the family experiences the Busha, even though the Yoshein dies, Rav Papa is saying, you know what? A Katan could really, in truth, experience genuine Boshes, Demichle Umichlam, or if he's more mature, if he's of an older age, even though he's still a Katan, he could feel the Boshes of a Gadol. And therefore, it's very possible here that the chiyuv boshes in the case of a katan is not because of the boshes of the bnei mishpacha, but because of his personal, the katan's personal boshes that he experiences. And therefore, in the case of Yashin Vemes, he didn't feel, he didn't experience that boshes, therefore the mavayish is potur. The Gemara wants to now prove that indeed there is boshes to a katan. Vasanya, here Vasanya means, and I'll prove it to you, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says that there are three different dinim in boshes. There's cheresh, yeshlo boshes, always has boshes, and therefore the mavayish is chayav. Shoteh is ein lo boshes, he never suffers boshes, and if the mavayish is part of a katan, it depends, says Rebbe. Pa'amim yeshlo, he does have boshes, pa'amim ein lo, he doesn't have boshes. And the Gemara explains Rebbe Shita. If he's an older and more mature and sensitive katan, he will experience boshes. But ha, in the case of the michlamle below michlam, if we're talking about a young child who's not subject to boshes, he doesn't experience this kisufa. And that's what we saw in Rav Papa earlier. The Mishnah says, "Amavayish sasuma, v'amavayish es ayoshen chayef, yoshen shebiyesh potur." It's clear from the Mishnah, with regard to a yoshin, there's a difference between the type of busha that we're talking about. In other words, if bishu hu, if the yoshin was subject to an act of boshes of a mavayesh, then the mavayesh pays. However, if the yoshin was the mavayesh, he was the active agent to cause busha, then he's potter, because he did it during his sleep, there was no kavanah levayesh. However, in the case of Suma, the Mishnah did not make this distinction at all between the Suma who was mavayesh or the Suma who was misbayesh. It would seem from the Mishnah that just like someone who's mavayish, the Suma is chayev, the mavayish is chayev, so too, if the Suma is mavayish others, he's chayev. Not like the case of Yoshein, where the Mishnah made the distinction, and if the Yoshein is the active mavayish, he's potur. Here, in Suma, since the Mishnah left out this distinction, apparently the Suma is chayev for boshes as an active mavayish. Is Masnisin Delok Rabbi Yehuda. This Mishnah is against Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah seems to imply that Suma Shabiyesh is Chayav, the Sanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Many dinim apply to a Suma, one of which is Suma. If he's Mevayish, someone ain't low, Boshes, he doesn't have a Chiv to pay Tashlumei Boshes. The Gemara is going to explain this in a minute. V'kachay Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would expand it to many other cases. Poter, he exempted a Suma Michaive Golios. In other words, if the Suma inadvertently killed someone, that means Hariga Bishogi normally engenders a Chiyuv of Golos, the Era Miklat. This doesn't apply to the Suma Shaharag Bishogi. Ume Chaivei Malkios. Anyone who violates a Losas Chayiv Malkus, unless he's a Suma, assumes a lav bar chiyuva, whether it's a chiyuv golus or a chiyuv malchus, and then finally michayove misos bezdin, not only the punishment of malchus, but even the punishment of misos bezdin. It's not exactly clear why the Brice had to mention misos bezdin when it already mentioned malchios. But that's a sugi at the end of Malkus. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda assume that assume is part of from all different chiyuvim, whether it be chiyuv boshes if he was mavayish, whether it be malchus if he violated a lav, kares, mises bezdin, whatever it might be, any of the punishments? And the answer is that Rabbi Yehuda darshins a gzeres shava. And that gzeres shava, oddly enough, is from the parsha of Suma to the parsha of Edim Zomimim. And that gzeres shava is called Einecha, Einecha Meedim Zomimim. In the Chiyuv of Boshes, it says, Losachus Einecha. And in the parsha of Edim Zomimim, where Edim schemed to be Mechayev the Nidon in an Onesh, and the Torah says, Losachus Einecha, again the word Einecha, Mahasam, just like in the case of Edim Zomim Sumim Lo, they're not including the Chiyuv Onesh of Kasha Zoma, because since they cannot see, they're not capable of Edus. is afhocha, here too, sumin lo. The suma is not subject to any of the chiyuvim of boshes. And then from boshes, we're going to move on to other chiyuvim. And the suma is potami chayve golius desanya in the parsha of chayve golius in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, it says, ovechol even asher yomus ba below ra'os. And the emphasis here is on these two words, below ra'os. In other words, that he's chayev golus because he killed someone below ra'os without seeing as carefully as he should have. Is he's got to be subject to re'ia, capable of re'ia. But he just didn't see. Then he's a shogeg. Pratless suma, but as far as suma is concerned, he doesn't have the capacity to see. We cannot call him, you know, below ra'os. Is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda concludes that a suma is not chayev golus. Rabbi Meir Omer, just the opposite. Below ra'os means l'rabos is a suma. Below ra'os is a description of the person he cannot see. And the Gemara now analyzes the underlying reasons of this machlokas. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, Amar l'cha, Rabbi Yehuda would say to you, Vasher yavo esreyehu bayar lachtov etzim. This is what we call a klal. It means anyone who can come into a yar and cut down trees in the forest is included in the parasha of golus, of rotzeach b'shogeg, v'afilu suma. So we start with this ribui, the klal, that would indicate that even a suma is chayv. Kosa rachmano, now the Torah says below ra'os, and that's a miut lima'ute, to exclusion of suma, and he's potter from golus. Rabbi Meir, who includes suma, he's marves suma, is the kasav rachmanav lo ra'os lima ute. The words lo ra'os would indicate a miyut to exclude a suma. But then, kasav rachmana, the Torah says, asher yakes re'u bivli das. And that bivli das is coming lima ute, to exclude the case of a suma. Why? Because bivli das means Bivli Yediyah, he's not aware of what's going on. In the case of a suma, he couldn't possibly be aware of what's going on. He couldn't possibly have kavana, because how could he shoot the arrow at the location of his friend he can't even see? And now what we have is, paradoxically, says Rebbeir, a double mute, heavy, and therefore we apply the general principle of mute achar mute. The ein mute achar mute, elo l'rabos. When the Torah repeats a mute, then it's coming for a ribui. And we have two miutim here. We have below ra'os lemutei suma. We have bibliv das lemutei suma. Is miut achar miut is l'rabos. And if a suma is chayv golus. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a suma is potter from golus, what is he going to do with this limut? What does he do with the pasuk bibliv das? And the answer is, ha'hu, that pasuk bivli das is pratlam is kavenu dios. It's coming to exclude the case of someone who had kavana to kill, and in such a case, he's chayv mises bez, then he's not chayv golus. Again, you might wonder what the havamina was. Why would we need a mute in the case of someone who had kavana lahamis? What was the havamina that he should be chayv golus? And perhaps this touches on the very essence of golus, where the golus is a kind of a substitution for Mises Bezdin that applies not only in the case of a Rotzeach B'Shogeg, but even in the case of Rotzeach B'Mezid, if there's not justifiable reason and the conditions haven't met to put him to death, then golus becomes a substitute for Mises Bezdin. The Gemara says that let's understand the reason that underlies Rabbi Yehuda's Petur of Suma, Chayve Mises Bezdin, Asya, Rotzeach, Rotzeach, Michayve Golios. We can derive the Chiv Mises Bezdin from Xerish Shava of the word Rotzeach, Rotzeach. Meaning, just like in the parish of Rotzeach, B'mezid, who's Chayv Misa, it says Rotzeach, so too the word Rotzeach appears in Bamidbar Lamed Hey in the context of a Rotzeach B'shogeg, and there it says, Lo Sikhu Kofer Lenefesh Rotzeach, and that posuk is referring to Chayv Golios, because in Dvar Mutes regarding Golios, it says, Lomus Shoma Kol Rotzeach, And this Gzeir Shava is coming to teach us that just as a Suma is potter from Golus, as Rabbi Yehuda derived from the Gzeir Shava Einecha Einecha, so too he's potter from Mises Bezdin in a case where he killed B'mezid. And Chayvei Malkius, how does Rabbi Yehuda derive the conclusion that a Suma is potter from Chayvei Malkius? Is Asya Rosha Rosha Mechayvei Mises Bezdin. Once we've derived Chayvei Mises Bezdin from Rotzeach B'shogeg from Golus, now in turn the Chayvei Mises Bezdin can teach us and shed a light on Malkius, because in Chiyuv Malkius, the parish of Malkius, the Torah says V'ayim ben hakos har Rosha. In the parish of Mises Bezdin, Asher hu Rosha Lomus. So just like a Suma is part of Mises Bezdin in the case of Rotzeach, so too in the case of Chiv Malkius, the Suma is Potter. That's the Gzeir Shava Rosha Rosha. How do we know in Chayvei Mises Bezdin the Suma is Potter? That's the Gzeir Shava to Chayvei Golios. And the Gemara now says, Tanya Idach, we have another Brisa, Rabbi Yudomer Suma, if he's Mevayish someone, Ein Lo, he doesn't have a Chiv Boshes. The Chayn, Hoya Rabbi Yudah Potro, and here we're on Pesayin Amad Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda extended the p'tur of Suma from the case of Boshes, Mikol Dinim HaTorah, from all Dinim Omenus. In other words, Eino Yachol Lodun Acherim Bebezdin, Eina Dayanim Donim Oso. The Suma is completely excluded from Dinim, whether or not people want to sue him in Bezdin or he wants to sue them. As far as Dinim Omenus is concerned, the Suma is excluded. And my time at Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Kra, Vishavtu Eda, Ben Make, Hamake, Ben Gol Adam, Al Mishpotim Eile, Kol Sheyeshno Ben Make, Uvagol Adam, Yeshno Ben Mishpotim, Kol Sheyeno, Bedine Maka, Uvagol Adam, Eino Ben Mishpotim. In closing the shir, I'd like to mention that according to Rabbi Meir, the distinction between Shota and Katan, as far as Boshes is concerned, one could possibly say the following. That with regard to Katan, he's not excluded from the parasha of Boshes. He could possibly have Busha. In the case of a Shota, he's Mufka from Boshes. And so too in the case of an Eved could have Boshes emotionally, but he's Mufka from the Chiyuv Boshes. And therefore, even though the Eved is a Bar Boshes, but he's excluded B'Torah's Gavra, a Chalushem Gavra, and that's derived from the Pasuk of Echav. In the case of a Shote, we're not sure whether it's a Hafkas HaGavra from the parasha of Boshes or simply he's Mufka from the experience of Kisuf of Boshes, and therefore, ipso facto, he's a Gavra that's Mufka from Boshes. The case of Katan, on the other hand, he's within the parasha of Boshes, and he may even be a Bar Boshes, as we saw in Rav Papa, that as the child grows a little bit older, he indeed will experience humiliation and the sensitivity that comes with maturity. We'll stop here.